This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
The voter turnout for the recent Quebec election was almost 75%, the highest in the last 14 years. It seems clear that the people in Quebec thought the stakes were high. As for the results of the election, well, the Parti Québécois, or PQ, won 54 seats and have formed a minority government. The Liberal Party, who had been the government for the previous 9 years, won 50 seats and received only 1% less of the popular vote than the winning PQ. A new right-wing party, Coalition Avenir Québec, CAQ, elected 19 members, and Quebec Solidaire, with 6% of the popular vote, elected 2 members. But what do these numbers signify, and what do they portend for the future? To reflect on these two questions, we contacted Roger Rashi. He's a political activist with the Quebec Solidaire Party. Greetings, Roger, and welcome back to Red Eye.
Thank you, Mordecai.
Now, the Charest government had been in power for 9 years, and there was much popular anger against them. Charest himself lost his seat, yet the Liberals won only 1% fewer votes than the PQ. What explains their better-than-predicted electoral result?
I think it's the referendum factor. They very successfully played the referendum card during the last 3 weeks of the election. This allowed them to shore up their support among Anglophones and Allophones, in other words, non-French speakers, by agitating the fear that the PQ was going to take Quebec out of the Federation. So that allowed them to prevent the other right-wing party from cutting into their vote and shore up their traditional bastions in the west part of Montreal and the west part of Quebec. And the second thing, which is unseen sometimes by the pollsters, is that a lot of nominally undecided voters are in fact Liberal voters who do not disclose their party affiliation. So polls systematically underplay the strength of the Liberal vote.
We could look at it the other way. What's the significance of the PQ result getting barely 1% more of the popular vote than the Liberals, despite the scandals that were rocking the Liberal Party?
It's a Pyrrhic victory. I mean, in fact, they got 3% less than in the 2008 election. I mean, you have here a party that wins nominally by getting a larger number of seats or a plurality of seats. But on the other hand, their share of the popular vote is even lower than in the last election where the official opposition. So it's a Pyrrhic victory, essentially due to the extremely high anger, the very strong anger against the Liberals. In that sense, it doesn't bode well for the PQ. I think the internal contradictions and the challenges to the leadership will continue, maybe muted for a while, but they're bound to explode within a year and a half.
The pre-election polls showed increasing support for CAQ, the new party, the Coalition Avenir Québec, and there was speculation they might displace the Liberals. Do you think, as you said before, that it was simply the fact of the referendum card that dropped their vote and increased the vote of the Charest party, the Liberal Party?
Well, the CAQ is also a media phenomenon. You have two very wealthy people getting involved with the CAQ. Legault himself was a successful Quebec businessman who launched an airline company, Air Transat. It was a charter company. Now it's become an airline company. And he sold it 10 years ago to get into politics. And Sirois, who's a well-known backer of the Liberal Party, very powerful kind of machine operator, Behind the scene, and a very wealthy man, one of the main shareholders, in fact, in the CIBC. So you have powerful business types lining up behind the CAQ and launching this incredible media campaign for the past year and a half to boost the CAQ artificially from nothing into a viable party that could even challenge uh, for the victory in this election. They came in third with a sizable share of the popular vote, about 27%. They rode very strongly the horse of anti-corruption. That was their main plank. Clean up the state, clean up the government, throw out the thieves or the corrupt people. And I think that got them part of the populist vote, part of the vote outside Montreal that wanted change, but wasn't clear on exactly change and what other values or social values should be associated with change. So they very successfully got that. But on the other hand, they have no ground machine yet. They have no machine on the ground, and I think that explains their low result in terms of seats. 19 seats is way below what they expected. I mean, they were hoping to get within 30 to 35 seats. And I think part of their weakness, obviously, is the fact that they have no electoral machine set up yet, and they don't have this capacity to churn out the votes on voting day. And the other thing is that their breakthrough, or their attempted breakthrough, in the English community, in the bastions of the Liberal Party, actually did not come through.
Now, during the election, the party, you're an activist in Quebec Solidaire, made a proposal, I understand, to the PQ for a way of trying to make sure that the Liberals were not elected. Could you explain a little bit more of that proposal and of the PQ response to that proposal?
Actually, it wasn't a formal proposal. In the lead-up to the election, I would say maybe a couple of months before the election, around mid-June, there was a movement among progressive intellectuals in Quebec, and they actually wrote a letter to the editor, an open letter, a public letter, which got 10,000 signatures, asking the pro-independence and progressive parties, the PQ, Quebec Solidaire, and another breakaway party from the PQ, Option Nationale, to form a coalition and beat the Liberals or prevent the Liberals from hanging on to power. At that time, Quebec Solidaire had already decided a year previously that there was going to be no proposal of alliance, tactical, electoral, temporary, or otherwise, with the PQ. So we were in a bit of a quandary. What do we do when a part of those who actually support you in the public opinion, progressive intellectuals, ask you publicly to make an alliance? So our answer was a very carefully calibrated answer, saying, look, if the PQ is willing to make an alliance, here are the six conditions that we insist upon. Tuition fee hikes have to be repealed. Law 78 has to be repealed. You have to guarantee to do away with a health tax. You have to reduce this, etc., etc. We put in six demands that for us were non-negotiable demands. The PQ rejected this within an hour. So there was no talk of any kind of alliance going into the election. During the election campaign, again, various progressive intellectuals, people in the media, kept putting forward the idea that there should be some kind of an alliance. And we did not come back on this issue. But what our leadership did, what our spokespeople did, is within the last week or 2 weeks of the campaign, when speculation was rife that the PQ could end up with a minority government, but very close to power, and Quebec Solidaire could have the balance of power. In other words, two or three seats belonging to Quebec Solidaire, added with the potential 60 or 61 seats from the PQ, would give a mathematical majority in the Legislative Assembly. At that point, what our spokespeople said is that if the PQ would bring in progressive legislation, we would support it. If not, we would oppose it. We made no formal proposal, and we never actually put out a call for a coalition government or ever asked for seats in the cabinet.
I want to turn to the student movement. For 6 months, there have been massive, unprecedented student mobilizations and popular support for the students against the Charest government because of the decision to hike student tuition fees. And Charest quite clearly called the election as a last effort to crush the student movement. What was the role the student movement played in the election itself? What was their orientation to the election?
Right. The student movement was split on the election issue. Two of the associations, the College Student Association and the University Student Associations, were fairly favorable to the PQ, particularly the leadership. And in fact, the former leader of the College Student Association, the FEC, actually ran for the PQ and was elected not far from Montreal, in Montreal suburb in Laval. The class, which was the more radical of the student association, the one that has led and mobilized widely around the student strike, took an abstentionist position, did not say yay or nay to the election, and kept on calling for mobilization to continue throughout the election campaign. However, there's a substantial part of the class membership and part of the leadership that actually supported Quebec Solidaire, but in a fairly quiet way. We had a tremendous amount of students participate in our campaigns. The campaign that I participated in, Mercier, which is Amir Kadir's riding, where he was reelected with an increased majority, 7,000 votes majority. We actually doubled the PQ vote this time in the riding. We had a tremendous amount of students who came and worked as volunteers during the campaign. Françoise David also won her riding by 4,500 majority, had a tremendous amount of students that came out and worked for her. We had, I would say, at least 10 or 15 ridings in the Montreal area where students were, if not the main group supporting us, but among the most active people out there doing canvassing, phone calls, and working on the elections. So part of the student movement abstained from the election officially, but another part participated. Some supported the PQ, a few supported Quebec Solidaire. But all in all, I think the continual mobilization of the students and the continual criticism of Charest finally beat the Liberal government. And in that sense, it's a tremendous victory. I think it's an incredible victory. The fact that not only they were able to sustain the strike for 7 months, but on top of that, they beat two ministers of education, the prime minister, and the party which actually launched such an incredible wave of repression against them.
Speaking of that wave of repression, the PQ seems to want to remove the bill, legislation 78, at least in words. Maybe you have some other assessment of that, I'd be interested. And also with regards to the student tuition hike, they say by an order in council, which is totally within their prerogative, they will eliminate that student tuition hike.
Yeah, they've made a formal promise to that effect actually within 48 hours after they were elected. And in fact, the Liberal Party had put in Bill 78 at the time a provision that the bill could be changed unilaterally by an order in council. So this is not for some reason, the Liberal Party wanted to have the possibility of doing whatever needed to be done with the law, and they put that provision in. So the PQ can use that same provision to annul the law, basically repeal the law by an order in council, and I think they will do it. They've actually made that the first engagement, the first clear promise of their new administration. In terms of the tuition fee hike, it looks like they have no choice but also abolish the tuition fee hike. However, the chosen policy of the PQ is to go ahead with an index, the cost of a formula for indexation of the cost of tuition. So in other words, they're for a small increase, 2%, 3%, but they are for an increase. And I think this is where the movement might start again. Maybe not within a month, 2 months, but within 6 months or a year, definitely. Because the Parti Québécois will have to call what we call a summit, i.e. A meeting of the head of the universities, the head of the education department, the ministers in charge of education, and obviously the leadership of the student associations, a summit to discuss the future of higher education. And they've already indicated that they will be putting forward an indexation formula to keep tuition fee hikes low, but keep some form of tuition fee hike. So I think this is where the next phase of the struggle will be. probably not this fall, but by early winter and definitely next spring, I think we might see the student movement in full action again.
A bit of a speculative question. There's talk that Mo Kerr, the leader of the federal NDP, wants to rebuild a Quebec wing of the NDP. What impact do you think that will have on Quebec politics?
I think it will have a very negative impact on the NDP because it's far from a unanimous view inside the NDP. And I would say among the NDP Quebec caucus that building a provincial wing is a good thing or a positive thing. Jack Layton's strategy was to try and concentrate the NDP vote at the federal level and appeal to soft nationalists against the Liberals and the Conservatives. That was his play, and that is what eventually worked in the last election. Actually, building a provincial wing and running in provincial politics in Quebec will have to put the NDP on the side of the Federalist vote and therefore inevitably cut into the votes that they had, particularly outside Montreal, in the federal election. So they're in a bit of a no-win situation. It could have an impact on Quebec in the sense that the NDP might cut into some of the Liberal support in parts of West Montreal where there could be a progressive English vote. They might be able to get a few seats, but as they'll be forced into the straitjacket of yes or no to federalism, and eventually that will undercut, I think, their popularity when federal elections come around. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword. And funnily enough, Mulcair announced that during the election campaign, he didn't have to, but he did, and within 2 or 3 days, he started backtracking a bit on it, and I think due to some pressure within his caucus, where he came out and said that it wasn't actually a formal decision, that was his own wish, but the party structure hadn't yet decided, or the party convention hadn't yet decided to set up a Quebec wing. But I think it's going to be the subject of many, many, many debates within the Quebec NDP caucus.
Well, thank you very much for your comments this morning. Much appreciated. And we'll be in touch, I'm sure.
Thank you very much, Mordecai. Always a pleasure.
Bye-bye. I've been speaking with Roger Rashi. He's a political activist with the party Quebec Solidaire.